Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to come together. We thank you so very much for this country that allows freedom to be able to worship you openly. And Father, we hear about places that don't allow that. And we hear the rumblings that how things change. And we see things happening in nearby countries that you see rights being stripped away from individuals, and you think it can't happen here. But Father, we know that anything's possible. We know that this is a world that is failing, and we're just walking through it, and we're part of it, but we're just walking through it. We don't live here. We're just passing through. We ask that you would give us the ability as we walk through this world to have your light shine through us, to attract people to us, to show that what you have done for us, we know that we have not accomplished anything on our own, but only through you and your love and your power do we accomplish anything. And we pray that as we walk through our books, we learn that exactly who you are and how you would have us walk through our lives and show the shining light of Jesus through each one of our lives as we walk. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay. Genesis 29:1. Last week we had the story of the sending away of Jacob and how Esau was so distraught with Jacob about how he had stole his blessing and how that in the end, you know, he really wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill his brother. So they devised his mother heard this happening and got with her father, and they devised a plan to shoot him off to her brother Laban up in Haran. So, I don't know if somebody said something. So let's start off. It said, then Jacob went on his journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east. So he didn't go up. He went over to east, the people of the east. And as he looked, he saw a well in a field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well, the flocks were watered. The stone of the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and the water the sheep and put the stone back over its place, back in its place over the mouth of the well. So basically you would have all the shepherds would come together and they would get all their flocks together and they would at one time of the day, and they would move the cap, this stone, away from the well, and they would allow the sheep to go in and get watered. Now, I was reading some of the commentaries on other stuff, and they brought up the difference between the well this time and the well last time they were in Iran. Last time they were a well where you had to dip a bucket in water and then fill troughs, right? So I would probably say that this is not the same well, because now we're taking and we're going to basically push a stone away, and you're going to allow the sheep to come up and drink out of a low area where the well is. And I think this is probably done for a couple reasons. One, it was easier to allow the sheep to come up to the well than to dip a bunch of buckets of water out, right? Because you're watering these sheep every day. I don't know how many times a day you may water a sheep, maybe twice. I don't know. I don't know if you water them once. I'm not a shepherd. But you have to water them probably daily. So now you come up to, you got to water these sheep. And it's time consuming and labor consuming to be able to take and dip water out to water sheep. That was the kind of the idea that was it Rachel? No. Was it Sarah? What was the one? I've lost the name. I think it was Rachel. Was it Rachel that was gotten first time? It was Rachel, right? Isaac's wife is Rachel. That's what I think. My name's right. So many names pop around in my head. But anyway, Rachel, she took and that was the thing. She dipped all this water out for these camels. And I'm sure camels drink a lot of water. So the whole idea was that the time that she took to actually do that. Well, now we have a bunch of sheep coming up and you do this every day. You're not going to want to water animals. You're not going to want to dip water down and water your animals every day. So they probably, this is a different well. Two, who wants to drink a bunch of water out of a trough or a well where a bunch of animals have come up and slobbered all in it? Probably not me. Okay? So the other well was probably more for human consumption, probably a well dug in the area, and they would water out of that. And then this is more of a well that's set out where you bring all your sheep up to. You roll the stone away or you move the covering off of it. You allow the key sheep to come up and drink, and then you cover it back up to protect it. So that's the kind of idea of what they're doing right here. Rebecca? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm the names run together for me. I apologize on names if I get messed up. It's just the only reason it didn't because I kind of thought about that, but I didn't know I was going to talk about it until I started talking about it, and then the names go away. It was one of those rabbit holes I jumped down that I should have been more prepared for. Anyway, back to the study. Okay, and so. In 29:4, Jacob said, come up here, and he says he sees these three people standing, these three basically shepherds standing around here. They brought their flocks up, and they're waiting to roll this stone away. And then Jacob says to them, my brothers, where do you come from? They said, and they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said to him, we know him. And he said to them, is it well with him? And they said, it is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. So they're looking off and thinking, so, yeah, do you know, are you from Haran? Oh yeah, we're from Haran. If you're from Haran, do you know Nahor? He's my uncle. Oh yeah, we know him really well. He's a good guy. And he's like, how is he doing? Well, he's doing great, man. He's doing great. Look, his daughter's even coming with the sheep right now. Now that was his kind of East Texas turn. You know, we talk a little bit different than they do. But that's kind of the gist of it. He opens up a conversation with them, kind of gets the lay of the land, see how the people is doing, asked about a man. And then here comes Rebecca, or Rachel, coming down to take and water their sheep right now. So, he says, okay, and they said, he said, it is well with him, they said, and it is well, and I see Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and pasture them. So what he's saying is I know this job. Evidently, he knows how to tend sheep. Because he said, wait a second, guys. The sun's still out. It's still the middle of the day. It's not time for all the flocks to be gathered together. Go ahead and water your sheep and go get them out to pasture and let them eat some more food. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks is gathered together and the stone is rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. So evidently it is a way things are done there. They wait till they get all the sheep together. Now, personally, I don't know how you tell one sheep from another, but I guess they can. I guess they know their own sheep. But, yes, sir?
It may be that they have to wait for the person to be representative of the one who owns the well.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Like Coach said, it may be they have to wait for the, maybe there's an owner to this well, and maybe they had to wait for them to come in to be able to do it. But I know it is, according to Scripture, it is a policy or a procedure or whatever you want to say, that they wait till all the sheep are gathered, then they roll the stone away and they drink on all at one time, right? That's kind of the gist of what I'm getting from the Scripture. So we know this is how things are done there. So he says, it goes on to say, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. Why do you think he did this? I don't think it's moonstruck. I think that he likes her, but I don't think that's the reason why he does it. First thing he does, he rolls this stone away. He waters just his uncle's sheep. Because I understand, a reason why I don't think that this is a kiss of passion or anything like that, because I look at what happens later on, okay? Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think it is. But basically, he took charge, he rolled this stone away, he didn't say they watered all the rest of the sheep, he watered his uncle's sheep, okay? And then he went over and kissed Rachel and wept aloud. It's like, I've made it, I found where I need to, okay, so now we kind of get the idea here. It says, and Jacob told Rachel he was her father's kinsman, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. Now, as soon as Laban heard this news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into the house. Now, that's the reason I don't know. You know, whenever you met in some cultures, they kiss on the cheeks whenever they meet each other. I love you guys, but I ain't kissing you on the cheeks. I'll shake your hand, okay, and I'll do it a manly way with a very strong grip. Yes, Coach. And I don't know, like I said. Yeah, this is a relative. This is not really a stranger. So I don't know. And I could be wrong, but like I said, it seems that there is kissing involved in greeting in this culture. Okay. Now, keep in mind that I'm not a cultural representative to these people. I don't know all about the culture, but that kind of leads me to think something different. And two, it would be very forward for the man to go down there and do the deep swoon kiss on the woman as soon as she met her. Okay. That would be a little bit forward in this culture. Where was I at before you started talking? 13, right? Okay. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him, embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to the house. And Jacob told Laban all these things. So he kind of brought Laban up on the idea of what was happening. And I'm sure he colored it in a way that was good for him. Because he is a deceiver, right? That's kind of his nature. So I'm sure he's going to tell all the good points that he did, and he's going to leave out some of the stuff that he really doesn't want to know about himself. We all do that, do we not? Believe me, you don't want to know all my bad habits. And I'm sure I don't want to know all yours. It's kind of like you walk up to somebody and you say to them, how are you feeling today? What do you usually expect to hear? I'm doing good. How are you? Now, you walk up to somebody, you say to them, how are you doing today? And they're like, well, you know, I got up this morning and my foot was kind of hurting. And I got up and I started to walk out of the car. I stumped my toe and twisted my ankle. Okay, now I'm getting more than I really wanted, right? That's not what I ask. It's a greeting. Okay? So You know, we tend to gloss over the stuff we don't think that other people need to know. It's kind of a human thing we do. So he tells him all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he stayed with him a month. So he told him all the story. Okay, he's part of the family. You know, stay with me. And he hung out with them for a month. Now, then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages would be. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. He had stayed with him a month. Was he working when he stayed with him? Maybe. Or you could also look at it saying, well, you've been with me for a month. You're starting to wear out your welcome a little bit. Even though you're my kinsman, you should be, and you want to stay with me, you got to toe the line, buddy. Tell me what your wages are going to be, because we need to get you to work. So there's two ways of looking at that. You can look at it either way you want to, but right now he basically went to him and said, you know what, let's come up with some wages so that we can get you to work. And notice he says, what will your wages be? He didn't walk up to him and say, hey, you know, I want you to go out here and cut some wood, and I'm going to give you 25 cents a cord. No, he come to him and discussed, you know, you've been with me over here for a month. I shouldn't take advantage of you. You shouldn't take advantage of me. Let's come to an agreement. Let's get you to work, and let's come to an agreement on what your wages are going to be. Now, it goes on to say that Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, Anyway, the older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. So it said, now Laban had two daughters, the older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. Now Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel's was beautiful in form and appearance. Now, it's talking about the eyes, right? Does that seem that maybe these women are covered up to where they only see the eyes? I don't know. Could it be? Because they talk about the eyes. Now, eyes in this particular culture are very well sought for. I think the reason why eyes are sought for is because if we look at what they even wear over right now, they still wear burkas and everything like that. Do they do that for modesty point? Also do it because you're in the sun a lot and everything like that. But it, when I started reading that, I started thinking, why did they talk about the eyes? Well, wait a second. You're taking care of your eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Yeah. And I was wondering about that. And like I said, I kind of associated with eyes. You could say that maybe he was associated, but evidently they were both the same size. We know that because whenever he goes into her, he doesn't know the difference till the next morning.
Maybe it says her eyes were delicate.
Not weak like
bad, but delicate like gentle. Not a defect.
Difference in translations. Let me jump over to a different translation.
You look at young, it'll tell you that.
Yeah. It says Rachel's eyes are tender. Tender in Young's translation. And Rachel hath been fair of form and fair of appearance. So we can understand that he likes Rachel much better than he likes Leah, right? It definitely draws him more. So he makes a deal. He says, And Jacob loveth Rachel and said, I serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy youngest daughter. So he said, my wages will be this. You give me your youngest daughter and I will serve you for 7 years. That's a long time. That's a long time to this day. How many people work in a job for 7 years? Not a lot of people nowadays. People jump from one to another to another. It's very unusual to see people do the same, work at the same place for 7 years. 7 years is a long time.
But they didn't have a lot of choices.
Huh?
They didn't have a lot of choices.
I don't know. You could always move. I don't know. Who knows?
She was that valuable.
She was valued. She had value. He loved her. From the first time he saw it, I think Coach is right. I think for the first time he saw it, he loved her. I just don't think the kiss with the passion is what you thought, Coach.
Well, I don't know whether it was either. I don't know. He looked at her and said, man, this woman is so nice looking.
Yeah.
And the other one doesn't really appeal to me, but I would love to be married to the young one.
So he makes this deal with Laban. He's like, I'll serve you 7 years for thy younger daughter. And Laban saith, it is better for me to give her to thee than to give her to another man dwell with me. In other words, deal. It's better for me to give her to you than give her to somebody I don't know. So yeah, we can do that. You stay with me for 7 years. Yes, sir? Nothing unusual happened in that particular time. Women were sold at that particular time. Women were not accounted for much. We look later on that whenever Rachel is not having children, does she ask for daughters? She says, give me a son. Why? Because son were counted. The wealth of a son. A daughter was something that you sold later on. They was like they weren't counted for much.
He's getting quite a bit for getting 7 years of labor.
7 years of labor.
Actually, and getting 14 years.
He doesn't know that yet, does he? But you know, I think Laban's already thinking. Laban's already working this out in his head. You know, he understand Jacob's the deceiver, right? He stole the birthright. Then he stole the blessing, and now he's went to a man's house that he's like, yeah, you know, I can take advantage of this dude. He loves my daughter. I'm going to get something out of her. And he gave up 7 years of his life. So Jacob served, he said, it's better for me, so dwell with me. So he's like, stay with me. I'll give it to you at 7 years. Now it says, Jacob serveth for Rachel for seven years. And they are in his eyes. Let's see. And Jacob serveth for Rachel 7 years, and they are in his eyes as some days because he loveth her. Okay, so basically, he served for 7 years, but he didn't account it for much because he loved Rachel, right? He's like, I know it's 7 years, but it really doesn't mean very much to me because I care so much. I really want this woman.
Mm-hmm. Also, he doesn't have any money with him. He has no camels and things like that. And he also is a long way back home. And back home is not very inviting at this time because of the stress of Isaac. So, you know, he's kind of stuck.
Yeah, to a point. I can see your point there. But he serves for 7 years, and it says because of his loving her. And Jacob said to Laban, give up my wife, for the days have been filled, and I go in unto her. In other words, 7 years have passed now. He has done what he said he was going to. He fulfilled his contract. He's like, give me my wife now, because I've fulfilled my end of the bargain. Now it's up for you to fulfill your end of the bargain. So, what does Jacob, Laban do? Well, Laban's like, okay, not a problem. Let's have a party to let everybody know that's going on. That's the way we do it here. We have parties. Okay? So, he takes and so Laban gathers the men in the place and maketh a banquet. And it comes to pass in the evening that he taketh Leah, his daughter, and bringeth her in unto him, and he goes in unto her. Now, that's the reason why I said there's not much size difference between the two females. If one was 110 pounds and the other was 150 pounds, you would say that there would be a difference in the, you can tell. Burka's had a lot. But it doesn't say that. It says, wait a second, it says that he bringeth her in unto him and he goeth into her. So, basically they come together. I'm sure they have a veil on their face. We have veils for ladies right now. Maybe this was a total veil. You know what? He could probably see the eye. You know, evidently he didn't see the eyes because there was a difference in the eyes, right?
And it's dark.
Huh?
It's dark.
Who knows? But we know that he doesn't have an inkling until the next morning that he's with the wrong woman.
He could have been a little tipsy, too.
Well, yeah, but I understand with that, but I cannot draw in anything that the Bible doesn't say.
A feast,
but it doesn't say that everybody got smashing drunk. So, anyway, the son, he takes and he brings the Leah into him and tricks him. You know, and that's completely, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? We can put all the different pictures we want into it. We can only go off of what Scripture tells us in here. So whatever we come up with in our own minds that we want to justify how this happened, that's fine. You can bring that up into your own mind. But in here, we have to say that he was tricked at this particular time and going into this woman. And once he did it, they were married. They were married in the eyes of everybody around there. Even in his own eyes, they were married. So Laban gathereth the man together. He goeth unto her. And Laban giveth her Zilpah, the maidservant, and Leah, his daughter. So he had Zilpah. It was his maidservant. He gave that to his daughter as a maidservant. And it cometh to pass in the morning that, lo, it is Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done to me? For Rachel I have served for thee. Why hast thou deceived me? Now, what do you think that makes Leah feel like?
Not very good.
What am I? What am I to him? I'm just an individual. I'm his wife now. I'm the first wife. Imagine from a female perspective how you'd feel the next morning with your husband coming out saying this. It makes you feel like dumb. Yeah. So it comes to pass, he's like, thou hast deceived me. And Laban said, it is not done in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. Don't you think that should have been talked about before? Well, first off, maybe you should have maybe whenever Jacob got there, maybe instead of being smitten, he should have come to see exactly what the contracts in that, just exactly how they did things there, right? So maybe Jacob was a little bit unprepared for the decision he made. But Laban knew what he was doing. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later on, too. So at this particular time, he comes together and he's like, it's not our custom here to do this. The older lady has got to be married for the younger daughter. He says, fulfill this week of this one, and we give thee also this one, for the service which thou dost serve with me yet 7 other years. In other words, don't worry. I got your back. I got a deal for you. Now, I know you really love Rachel. So I got a deal for you, man. I'm going to give you her too. All you got to do is work for me 7 more years. I said, like, man, this is not a good deal. What happened to this? I had a good deal going, and then what happened? But he loves Rachel, so he agrees to do it. So Laban giveth Rachel the daughter, giveth to Rachel his daughter Bilhah. And doing so, fulfill the week that he had giveth Rachel's daughter for another 7 years. And Jacob doeth so. So he makes the deal. He's like, this is not the deal I want, but I really love Rachel. So I will make this deal, and I will take you give me Rachel, and I'll work for you another 7 years. Again, what is this? What is Leah over here? She's like, what am I, chop suey? You know, so make sure how that feels. And we see it come out later on. And it says, so Jacob does so and fulfills the week of this one, and he giveth him Rachel the daughter to him for wife. And Laban giveth Rachel the daughter, Bilhah, his maidservant, for a maidservant to her, and he goeth in unto Rachel, and he also loveth, Rachel more than Leah, for he serveth with him yet another 7 years. In other words, the Bible says that he loves Rachel more than he loves Leah. Yes, sir.
He has to finish the week with Leah. And Leah understands that at the end of the week, there's another woman coming into this household without my sister. Then he has two wives and they have a week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is, what I think what's coach is saying is that, you know, after a week over there, you know, basically Leah gets into her for a week, and then all of a sudden now she has to share him with her sister for another 7 years. They got to stay there too, to fulfill his part of the contract. Yeah. It goes on to say, and Jehovah seeing that Leah is the hated one, the one that is not liked as well. I don't know if he hates her. Hates such a strong word. It's a favorer's type thing. But it says, I think it's more of a favor. I think he more preferred. He sees that he prefers Leah more than he does Rachel. So God steps in with this, and he takes and he says, Jehovah sees that Leah is the hated one, and he opens her womb, and Rachel is barren. So, now we start off with the children. Leah conceived and beareth a son, and called his name Reuben. For she said, because Jehovah hath looked upon mine affliction, because now doth my husband love me. I gave him a child, right? A son. Now my husband's going to love me. Yeah. Yeah, that's that. This is not a really guy, a good guy. And she conceiveth again and beareth a son and saith, because Jehovah hath heard that I am the hated one, he also give me even this one. So she calls his name Simeon. And she conceiveth again and beareth a son and said, Now is the time. My husband is joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, I will call, called Levi. And yet again, she conceiveth again and beareth a son and saith, this time I praise Jehovah. Therefore, she calls his name Judah, and she ceased from bearing at that particular time. She had four children. Now, it's a neat that it's named Judah, because where does the Lord Jesus come from? What line does he come from? The line of Judah. Understand that the Lord, God chooses to bring the Lord through the line of the hated one, not the one, the loved one. That's an amazing thing, is it not? God could do it any other way he wanted to, but that's the way he chose to do it.
I mean, there really wasn't a mistake made.
Yeah. So, we go on, and I don't know how much time. We don't have much time left. We'll go a little bit. And Rachel sees that she has not borne Jacob. And Rachel is envious of her sister and saith to Jacob, give me sons, and if there is none, I die. Now, that's some dramatic stuff going on here, right? But understand this. She's mad at her sister, and she's mad at her husband because she's barren and she doesn't have any children yet. Yeah, that's a good family thing going on here, right? And so you see that there's tension between the two sisters. You know, Jacob really loves Rachel, but Rachel, you know, hasn't performed. She hasn't put out the kids. Although we know later on that the sons that Rachel give him is to him is more well thought in his heart. We'll see that later with Joseph and Benjamin, that he really loves those children because they come out of the woman that he really loves. We'll get to that a little later on. It says, and Jacob's anger burnt against Rachel, and he says, am I in the stead of God who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? So she gets mad at him, and he's like, what are you mad at me for? It's God who has clogged up your womb and not allowed you to have children. I'm doing everything I can. What do you want of me, woman? Well, she takes and she does exactly what somebody else did before. She gives him a handmaiden for a wife. She's like, lo. She said, lo, my handmaiden Bilhah, go in unto her, and she doth bear on my knees, and I am built up even I from her. In other words, take my handmaiden, go in, she'll be your wife now, and she'll have my children. We've seen that happen before, haven't we? And it usually doesn't come out very well. Yes, sir.
But that's God's
I don't know. The customs of the day were totally different than what we have. You know, I told Amy, I said, Amy, I said, if I was to lose you today, I don't think I would ever remarry because you'd rump me for all other women. I said, I don't think I could put up with another one of you. Now, that's in jest, right? But it's true. Trying to deal with the opposite sex is fun. We don't think alike. We don't act alike. We're not designed alike. Regardless of what the news media says. I can feel for the man, but my humanity says, three women? Wow. And understand that people think differently. Sexists think differently. I don't think I want to go much further because I'm out of time. I think I'm going to cut it short today. And we'll jump back off. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Like I said, we need to be careful, though, of what we read into it. There's so much ability to read into it. When we talk about how they met and the kiss and all that other stuff, there's a lot of that we can read into that. And we have to look from, we just want to make sure whether whenever Leah went in there, whether their feast, there was alcohol, that we don't know. We don't know. So in our own minds, we can implant stuff however we want to. But when we talk about scripture, we have to stay with what it says. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't give us all the information we think we need, but you know what? It gives us enough to understand what God would have us do. God is setting down a plan for the Messiah to come all the way through here. And they show us a genealogy all the way back. And that's what it's doing at this particular point. This is going to get fun. There's a lot of stuff happening. Now we're going to 12 different sons here real soon. A lot of different dichotomy in the family, how each one interacts, how they throw one of their brothers into a well because he's more well thought of than the rest of them because it is, he's from his mother's the loved one of Jacob. And then he thinks he's dead. Now he doesn't want to send Benjamin up because Benjamin may get killed and he'd be the last offspring of Rachel. There's all kinds of stuff that's going to be going on. But God's moving all the way through it, and he's going to guide them to where he wants to be. And in the end, God's will gets taken care of. God uses imperfect people to bring apart his purpose, right? So if God can use imperfect people in the old time to bring part his purpose or bring forward his purpose, what do you think he can do with us? Because we're a bunch of imperfect people, right? The only thing that makes us perfect is God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when I do Lord's Supper a little bit later on. Anybody got anything?
Example of a dysfunctional family.
I would say to you is that what family is not dysfunctional to some point? Anybody else?
He may have been training Jacob, working on his heart.
We see a change in Jacob's coming, and there'll be a change in Jacob coming. And whenever Jacob changes, God changes his name. Okay? Jacob is maturing through all these processes, okay? We're all a work in progress. Anybody got anything else? Ray, would you close us this morning, sir?
Heavenly Father.